Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, kids, and how the hell are you? I am Gonz, and this is the Poets Pub. And right now, we're going to have a little bit of a change. We're going to have a special guest. Let me go ahead and connect him. His name is he's a young poet. His name is Scott Simmons. And let me see if I can get him on here. If I can remember how to do this. Are you there, Scott?
Yes, I am. And that was some very beautiful waiting music on the Blog Talk Radio here.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I really thought you would love Bachman Turner Overdrive. It's one of Lily's favorites. She is not with us, by the way. And we are missing her, but she is on special assignment. I believe we call it she's taking a nap because it is late. We are way past the midnight hour. Brother, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I have a question troubling my mind. Do you think that light beer is an abomination to human dignity?
I think light beer is pretty much, you know, to be honest with you, light beer is really great if you, basically if you don't want to be a drinker, light beer is really good for you. It's kind of like, you know, like training wheels. Or it's kind of like having to wear Depends, you know. But anyway, before we get moving crazy into a weird direction, Lily is not with us because, like I said, she's on special assignment. She has, unlike me and Scott, who a lot of people wouldn't know, Scott Simmons is a very good personal friend of mine and also a aspiring writer, poet. And Scott, where can people find some of your works?
I'm up at Dwayne's Poetry at the moment.
Okay. And anywhere else?
You could also, at Hello Poetry at Texas Rambler.
Okay. All right. We're good. And like we said, we're getting a big hello to Lily, who is absent and probably will hear this and think, my God, what in the hell are they doing? But this is a strictly boys club night, and we're gonna hell with it. I figured let's record an episode, and we're doing it. So Scott, all seriousness, man, you are a young writer. You're going out there. You're submitting work. How is it trying to get your work accepted, man? How many rejections have you got out of all the things you sent out?
Jesus, that's hard to say, actually. You kind of start counting rejections after a certain point, or at least I did. So a lot of it. My fastest rejection, though, was in about 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes, and can we say who that was from?
In Between Hangovers.
In Between Hangovers. The lovely Tasha Roberts. You know, once, of course, we That's really going to be popular mentioning that, but no offense to Tasha, she's a great editor, and who would be your second fastest?
Well, let's see.
Besides your ex-girlfriend, I'm just saying.
I can't play it. I've had some pretty quick ones. Probably your one phone call would be the closest. I think that was about.
Oh my goodness! Your one phone call. You're such a name dropper.
That was about an hour. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I mean, it's because we all get rejections. I've definitely had them in my personal life and from writing. I know that's hard to believe, but how do you handle rejections?
Well, you just keep going and keep writing. That's all I can say. I mean, it's kind of like after you get sprayed with pepper spray, you just got to keep a good attitude. Eventually,
yeah, you would know all about that. Because, like I said, if people are listening to this, they probably expected a more professional broadcast. Lately, you know, I have so many guests that me and Scott are actual friends outside of here because I really like that. I like the time travel. I mean, because everybody knows I'm just in my early 20s, so my friends are very young.
I can vouch for that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know,
mentally
he's,
is all that counts.
Actually, I think he's closer to 16, let me be very honest with you.
Mentally, yeah, I'll agree with you completely on that one. Oh, man. You know, okay, man, Scott, let's just, so people get to know you, man, and to take this quasi-serious, what got you into writing?
If you want my honest answer, it's a really goddamn sappy story. But
all right,
just
let's shoot.
I was really socially awkward. I wrote a poem for a chick, as you can guess. That went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
That's how
your writing is not. I wouldn't say your writing is very woman friendly, but go ahead, Scott.
That was from a different era.
Yeah.
I was like 13, so.
Oh, well, that's being you're 15 now. It's really impressive.
Wow. That's why my driver's license is invalid, then. That makes sense.
Yeah, you're how old are you, Scott?
I'm about 19.
You're 19? Well, you could have lied. You're 21. Yeah. You're almost 20. You're at the worst age ever. But you wrote to get a chick, and did you land this lovely lady?
Fuck no. That went terribly.
Go ahead and tell us. You're the guest. I'm just the host. I'm just the guy who's like mixing drinks.
It was pretty much just awkward silence for a couple of months, and we ended the school year.
That's like the story of your life. You really scare women. You know, you got to quit writing all those stalker poems. I'm just saying, Scott. You know,
well,
maybe don't
I mean,
like hang out in the tree out in the yard anymore.
I mean, all I do is just write their address down, and I don't get the big deal about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing
speaking of sexual harassment, do you have an opinion on that 6-year-old boy who got a charge of sexual harassment for writing a girl like his crush a little letter?
Yes. Well, you know, we have to be careful nowadays, because did this little boy want to be a casting director? Because they are dirty people, you know. You know, we don't want to encourage a new future Harvey Weinstein. I'm just saying.
But does Harvey Weinstein inspire you in a way?
Yeah, now we're going to get really in left field. No, Scott, come on now. We can't say that in public. No, Harvey Weinstein, you know, man, what do you think about all this crap going on? I mean, let's be completely honest, you know, with all the going on here, but, you know, because Weinstein's obviously a piece of shit, and
yeah,
I don't think anybody can deny that. Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, he was bad, but I will say sometimes I do think it gets a little bit ridiculous. I mean, Jesus Christ, there's a couple of college campuses that want written consent forms. Because, you know, college kids are going to bother to fill those out.
A written consent for what? Enlighten me.
To have relations, you should get a written consent form.
I can barely remember to carry a condom. Now you got to have a consent form. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Do the parents have to sign that, or is it strictly the two people involved?
I think parental approval is going to probably be passed maybe next year.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, if the whole family agrees, I mean, you know, does that veto it? Like, if mom and dad say, hey, that's the one for you, and you say no. You know, I mean, it should veto it. I mean, I'm just saying. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
I might sound like I'm retarded, but that's okay. Because I use words that I'm not supposed to anyways on here.
Okay. What what do you think about social media in general? Is it just a waste of time or what?
You know, wow, that's a great one. You know, I'm supposed to ask you questions, but social media in general, at least for me, you know, it can be a useful tool. It really can be a useful tool. You know, I use Facebook. I use pretty much any avenue to get my work out there. I don't think that's what most people use it for. I think it's basically like anything. If you're using it to benefit yourself in some good way, then more power to you. But overall, I think it's pretty much useless. You know what I mean? I mean, let's face it. It's not, you know, it's an overrated thing, honestly. I mean, but then again, if it wasn't for the internet, you know, I think the internet's made publications far easier than it used to be. You're not sending in the little envelopes to, like, you know, all over the country trying to get published and, you know, hope that you get your work back and all this stuff. I mean, you know, the internet's a valuable tool.
Really? If you want to know something kind of
weird.
That's
how cheap you are.
Like half the kids, look, but half the kids, in my, well, not kids, you know what I mean. Half the people in my college English class, they seriously do not know how to address a letter.
I believe that. And they, so, you know, I got to ask you this, man. You are way younger than me. Did you have to learn how to write cursive, or do you not know how?
Only thing I can do cursive is my signature.
Oh, my. So that's all they teach you now, is just how to do your signature.
They didn't really teach me that one, per se. I kind of taught myself.
God, that's bad. Because I know you, so it's like, wow.
Well, to be fair, I mean, like, reading my handwriting, it's like hieroglyphics, honestly. It's kind of like,
yeah, I know.
Too crane. No,
it's not that good. It's not that crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
No, man, you do good.
No, I'm
just
my physical
giving you
handwriting.
Shit. Yeah.
I seriously can't read my physical handwriting.
I mean, I know you, so then again, I'm like I said, I'm not. I'm just giving you shit, man, because I actually know you. But like most people, anybody that gets on this show should know that pretty much anybody can be on here. If I totally mess that up, anybody can be on here, but it's just you pretty much just have to be a friend of mine, and you, as long as you write. Yeah, that does help. If you're really attractive, you can drop me a line. You don't even have to be a writer. And I'll put you on here. Because that's what, you know, thanks, Scott, for making me sound like a sexist. I'm trying to kind of, you know, clean up my image a little. I really appreciate that. Yes?
I'm just saying, boobies are nice.
Yeah, yes, Scott, they are. I'm glad to know that you're going to keep everything in line. You're such a good co-host. I miss Lily so much already.
I know,
but she's asleep right now. We couldn't wake her up. We couldn't call her. We actually have a way to call out and call somebody on the show, but from the show. But we better not do that, or we would never have her on the show again. Because she would seriously get pissed off.
I mean, we have means. We can probably get George Clooney to talk to her to get her to wake up.
Oh, yeah, look, there's a little button there. I finally learned how to work the switchboard, and I can actually call out. It's pretty awesome. Let's call for a pizza.
It is.
It's like, hey, you're on the Poets Club. We would like a large Meat Lover's pizza. Wouldn't that be a great episode to talk about writing, and we could order a pizza in between?
I think it would be.
I do, too, man. I think, well, fuck, I get hungry, you know. What's your favorite? Well, you don't even drink. That's the weirdest thing. This show's kind of all about drinking and all that good stuff.
Water is a hell of a drink is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. If anybody could get high on water, you could. Because you drink enough for all of us. this thing.
Exactly. I urinate every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay, how do I word this? What do you think is, like, the most asinine social media website?
See, that you're going to get me in trouble for this shit, because I don't like most social media. You know, I'm not a big fan of the picture sites. I'm not a fan of at all. Once I know it's going to make people mad, but, you know, it's not. If you generally have a love for photography, cool, then I'm glad you're on there. If you just like to go on there and take, you know, selfies of yourself in the bathroom doing a duck face, then I'm not really that impressed.
Hey, that is art for me.
I know. You have quite a wider range of them on Pinterest. So I'm very impressed, Scott. I kind of thought that was a girl thing, but you're really bringing that up to the, you know, male perspective there. It's very, you're making an art of it. I'm so proud of you.
I know. That's what we always do in life. So, okay, here's a question. An actually good question.
Okay.
If you could bring Hunter S. Thompson back from the dead for about 5 minutes, what would you ask him?
What could you ask Hunter? I think Hunter S. Thompson would lead the interview. You would basically just, you know, with Hunter S. Thompson, just hang on and enjoy the ride. I don't think Hunter was much. Hunter really wasn't the kind of person you interviewed. Because if you ever watched, like, footage of him on even David Letterman, he pretty much ran the show. Hunter really, you know, let's face it, Hunter S. Thompson was Hunter S. Thompson. You know, who really knows? Because you never seemed like you talked a real man. Because there was more of a myth. You know, have you ever seen that? There's a video, I think it's on YouTube, and it's, I think, the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, where they go through Hunter S. Thompson's drug routine. You know, wake up, I think it's Chivas Regal, and all that stuff, and then cocaine, weed, and then eventually he gets ready for writing, and it's like, it's, the guy was like, after a while, I feel bad for him because, you know, to a degree, he had to kind of live up to an image more than just be himself. I don't know that, unless you really knew the man personally, I think most people expected the character. You know, they didn't expect it. The guy was an incredible journalist, incredible writer, and yet after a while, it was more a character. And people wanted to hang out with him so they could, you know, kind of meet the legend, not the person. So, yeah, no, I don't know what I would ask Hunter. I mean, God, can you imagine what he would think of everything nowadays? I mean, Hunter was such a great writer, and especially on the campaign trail, good God, I could imagine what he would have thought about this whole election and all that shit. I mean, it would have been incredible, but, you know, Hunter left us unfortunately, too soon, and he still could have been highly valuable. You know, that's a stupid statement. I know everybody's going to give me shit about that, but, I mean, Hunter was just a man. I mean, of course, hell, who didn't look up to him, you know?
I will say one thing, though.
What?
Hunter S. Thompson, like, his funeral had, like, his ashes shot out of a cannon. That's pretty badass.
I imagine you would love that because you and Hunter have one thing in common, a love for guns.
Yeah, well.
What is your true love affair with, because people don't know you, but I do. What is your draw, man? You are like, would you call yourself a gun nut?
Yes.
Mm.
But to be fair, I am nuts about other things too.
Yeah.
Mostly porn.
That's something that we don't have to share. We don't have to share everything. I'm just saying,
oh,
this is not that kind of interview. I don't need to know what you do with your personal time, really, and I don't care. You definitely have a love for firearms, my friend. I know you very well, so. And you definitely have that in common with Hunter. Except probably not to his degree because, you know, he had a lot of money and he had a lot of some really nice guns. So anyways.
He had a pretty cool collection, actually.
I imagine.
He also had a Cal, was it model 20, I think it was 29. Shit. It was similar to what Dirty Harry had.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Hunter was, like I said, man, Hunter was the man, and nobody can deny that. You know, as we get back to writing, who would you say were your influences mainly when writing, when you started?
From the very, very start, when I got more serious about it, initially it was like Jim Morrison, some of Bukowski stuff, and Hunter S. Thompson, probably my top, probably the first three I initially did. And, not to inflate your ego, but as I got more into it, you were an influence.
Oh, my goodness. What is wrong with you, you poor child?
I know.
I feel bad for you there. God, you know, well, who are you reading now? Who is, anybody new, anybody, you know, that's still alive and breathing air?
let's see. Your works, from what I could find, I did like Ben Smith's work.
Oh, yeah.
He's no longer up.
I know, former editor-in-chief of Horror Sleaze Trash. Great writer. Very crazy, but great writer. We miss him dearly, of course.
I'd say those probably the, you and him are probably the main two. And I just like reading different stuff at HST. That's probably one of my favorite publications.
That is a great magazine. And, of course, Arthur Graham running that now and doing a tremendous bang-up job over there with India. As the, you know, who's also working over there. I always try to give credit to both because it's not just a, you know, one person running the ship there.
Yeah, Arthur has good stuff too, actually.
Mhm. Yeah, he does.
I like that. I like that one title we thought of for that tiss on it.
That is a great. Yeah, Arthur has great titles, and he is a great writer. So definitely anybody listens to this and maybe has never, I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't, because if you're in that kind of inner circle of people I know and everything, you definitely know the name. And Arthur, Arthur Graham is a great writer, great poet, and definitely a hell of an editor and hell of a person, man. Really nice guy, great guy to deal with. I remember when HST, when they did the switch there and he took over, that guy is just, he's done a bang up job over there. So big props to him. And, hell man, you sending out work. I know you mentioned you recently sent out work to them. So we'll definitely cross our fingers with that there, Scott, and hopefully get in.
I hope so. I also tried one for the post community. So that goes.
That's another great place. Guy Farmer runs that. Another great site. Place to submit. So, man, how do you, I mean, with writing and everything, I mean, how do you view the whole landscape of it with all the e-zines and everything? Do you think it's a lot of opportunities, or do you think it's really hard to kind of find places that are really receptive to new writers? How do you view it?
I see opportunity in it, really, because you have a lot of different places you can kind of submit to.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, hell, if there's another place, there's always a shot you might get in there if you push your luck and you make some good content.
Yeah.
So I see
it
as an opportunity more. Although, I mean, one bad thing about that is every once in a while you get more of an opportunity for bullshit too. Because I mean, you get more people submitting, so every once in a while something falls through the cracks.
Well, there's a lot of, it's a shark tank, man. I mean, there's only so many spots that all these magazines and stuff like that, or e-zines, as they, a lot of people refer to them as. And there's definitely a lot of really great places popping up and tremendous places to, and where you can really discover a lot of writers. What's your whole take on the whole submittable? Because everybody, you know, me and you know personally what I think about submittable, but what do you think of it?
You know, I've not had any luck with it, and if you want to be very honest, it's just shit. I mean, Jesus, I have not had.
You can take all the heat because I didn't say it.
Well, I can take it. Trust me, it's just submittable. It's the most frustrating website ever, and you know, like sometimes they'll put the submission guidelines up, and you can go to the website, and they'll literally do something different, or. Like, they'll give you some kind of instruction that you have no idea how to do. Like, how am I going to send an author's picture on Submittable?
Yeah. Yeah, Submittable to me has a lot of flaws. I know a lot of people probably like it. I think, to me, I don't know. It's just, it's really great if you're lazy. It's like one whole generic thing. It's like, I like to deal with each editor differently. You know, I might send in even a different kind of, I don't know, I might send in a different kind of biography or whatever, because you usually do have to include that anytime you send it anywhere, obviously. And I just like dealing with the editor on more of a personal level than Submittable. Submittable is just like, it's basically publishing for dummies, as far as I care, you know, I mean... You know what I mean, and like I said, I don't really care. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to make any friends by the way I talk, but, you know, whatever. Like, I care.
Okay. You know, speaking of individual editors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you had any that were just almost impossible to work with?
That's a very unfair question to ask, because even if I did, I probably wouldn't name them. But
you don't have to name them.
There are some that I would say are one of the earliest publications I was in, having an editor write me and saying, you don't mind taking this out or that out, that kind of agitates me. I would rather have an editor write me and pass on something than, hey, you don't mind changing this, or, you know, because then it's not, I feel like it's not me doing the right. As far as, like, most editors, no, none have been in terribly impossible or anything like that, but there's been a few that really made me push me to do better. And in fact, I'll have a write coming out next month that I was really pushed to do better, and really sent in, as you know, sent in a very short write that I ended up turning into a short story and an extended poem. And so, yeah, I mean, it can be a good or bad thing, you know. But yeah, with editors, you never know what you're going to get, you know. But it's a mixed bag. It's like people. You never know who you're really writing or who's on the, you know, who's on the other end of that email, so to speak. So how have you found your experiences? Has anybody been really kind of abrupt, or has there not been enough to really, you know, make a fair judgment?
I haven't had any eccentric editors, really. That's why I ask you, because I feel like there might be some, but no.
Yeah.
Pretty much most of my interaction is just will pass.
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the easy one. It's when they like I said, this is bad because people think you're talking about another person, and I hate to do that, and I just don't want to call out names and stuff like that. But I've only had one. Okay, I'll take this back. One that really kind of bit you know, bit my ass. And this person, we're not going to name the easing, but, you know, I get that, hey, look, your work isn't going to please everybody. And especially when you do, like I do, or, you know, anybody else, you know, I'm not trying to please everybody. I write to please myself. And hopefully if it entertains me, it entertains somebody else. There's only one in particular, without naming the name here, that wrote me back. And what cracked me up was, instead of, like, just your atypical rejection, you know, they sent, well, we decided to pass, and then they sent me a quote from another writer that was on their site that really had nothing to do with my work. That one kind of got me. I was like, you know, if you just want to say something, say it. You're going to quote something that writer didn't write to me, you know, they just took it from another, you know, right? Now, obviously, this magazine, you know, this is one thing I will advise anybody, well, let's just say anybody who may listen who's really a younger writer, once I don't really have that many people on my friend list and stuff like that that would are, you know, inexperienced writers or anything like that. But definitely research your magazines you're submitting to. Once was an early mistake of mine. And because this person was, yeah, they were a bit of an asshole. So, but then again, I don't submit there anymore. Because it's just my work doesn't fit their mag, and that's fine. That's cool, man. You just can't really, you can't let it get to you. You know how it is.
And that you can't. You just got to keep going.
You got to keep going. So how did
you
keep going, man?
Do you think, like, the secret to really writing is just kind of endurance?
I mean, most anything's endurance. It's not necessarily. It's kind of like being a fighter. It's not necessarily how much you can dish out. It's how much you can take. If you can keep on doing this after, you know, years of rejection or whatever, you know, it does come down to talent as well. I mean, you have to have some kind of fucking talent, or you're just wasting your fucking time. You know, if you've just got all the ambition in the world, none of the talent, then you're just kidding yourself. But it does take endurance. You know, you got to have patience. You got to be able to persevere, man, where other people fold. You know, that definitely separates the men from the boys, because it's easy to be, you know, it's easy to fold when somebody tells you no, or they tell you work shit or whatever, because it might be. You know, we all like to think we're the greatest writer on earth, but... I don't think
well,
so. I'm not.
I know my really old stuff. Because, like, with my really old stuff, Jesus Christ, I can't even read it. Like, somebody posted...
Well, you're probably writing it in crayon. You're a very young writer, dude.
I normally like to put crayons in my nose, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I just found it today, actually. Somebody reposted, like, one of my... really old poems. I couldn't read it.
Oh yeah. The old work is, you know, that's the only problem with the internet. I think it's where a lot of people, you know, a lot of people start on the sites. There's a lot of people who hadn't. There's some people that had been submitting work, you know, for as long as they've been in the game, and more power to them. But there's a lot of people who nowadays probably started on a website writing. And I know that I have more than a few writes out there that they're just pure shit. I know they are. So if anybody ever writes me and says, man, I read something that yours is total shit, and I'm like, well, you know, sorry.
Do you have,
what the
okay,
fuck?
Look, do you have a magnum opus of your shit writes?
No, but there are some. But, you know, man, it depends on, you know, it depends your age. Like, I can tell there was, oh, God, okay. There was some stuff that I wrote that, you know, you're just pretentious, and I was a lot younger, and you think you know every fucking thing. And the older you get, because I am older than 16. I know it's shocking. But, you know, it's the older you get, the more you learn. And it's a craft, like anything, man. You have to develop it.
Oh, God. I actually agree. I definitely agree on that one. That old stuff I was reading, Oh, Jesus. That was the most pretentious thing I've ever seen. I was like, oh, God. Nope, can't look at it.
No, not you, dude. You are a very, for anybody who has not read Scott, and I do encourage him to write, you're definitely a developing writer, and you're kind of getting your own voice, man, and that is admirable, to be honest. And no, man, you're doing good, man. You're pushing your work out there, and you know, it's like it's slow, but it starts that way. You know, I mean, you are over at Dwayne's Poetry. You have some good work there. I encourage anybody to look you up over there and look you up, of course, on Hello under Texas Rambler. And, you know, so what's your take on the whole, because there are a lot of people now who are coming over from being very popular on websites and then crossing over into publication. And it's, you know, there's a lot of people that really argue, you know, what's the best venue? Because there's some people that are over on the website that are getting, like, they're getting a lot of reads, you know, compared to maybe a publication that has a lower circulation or lower readership. I mean, what would you say are the take on that whole thing?
I'd say it's kind of a mixed bag, really. I think, like, as far as, like, those site websites, like, you know, I'm talking about just the normal websites. I didn't mean the site websites, but. Anyway, just on like a Hello Poetry or something, I think it's probably a decent place for you to start out and kind of develop a little bit and get more people into you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think it's quite as fulfilling as publication, really, because publication there's a process where they have to actually accept your stuff, and it makes it a lot more of a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the beauty of it. And I think that makes you a lot better, too.
Publication, I mean, you know, the thing is that, and not to insult anybody on the websites, but, you know, anybody can post, anybody can create an account, any skill level, and put their work in on a website. Publication, you know, it does. It's completely different, and I don't care anybody. And there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to name names, who say that, you know, that publication, it doesn't mean shit to them, but it's awful funny. They seem to be chasing it, you know, every 2 seconds, and we both know that. I mean, to me, it never gets old. I love it, and, you know, and like I said, and I'm nobody, but I try to stay published, and I do a pretty good job of it. So, you know, I mean, publication's completely different. I mean, You can't take yourself too serious in anything you do, man. Unless you're, like, making your living at it and, you know, 100%, let's be honest, you know, then you need to lighten up a little bit. I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, I'll put it like this. I do agree with you there a lot. I mean, hell, if I look at myself in the mirror, I have a lot of material to laugh at. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of pathetic.
Well, God, don't depress me, dude.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, you are. That's true. Whether people know it or not, and of course they're going to know it from this, we've been friends quite a while, and actually, how long have we known each other? You wrote me when I was probably not known to most people in publication, probably known to more people on websites and stuff like that, because I was on a lot of websites. I was,
Let me think. Does 3 years ago sound right? 4 years?
Yeah, just about, because then you vanished for a year. I had to put your face on. Yeah, 2 years, yeah. And then I had to put your face on the back of a milk carton, and then I finally found you one day. It's like, wow. And oddly enough, you hadn't grown much.
Yeah.
Well, you
but
know.
I'm trying to grow. I keep trying. I know. I'm eating my Wheaties. I'm trying to get stronger.
So you asked about the Winter Olympics, Scott. I have to ask you. This is a very important thing. Poetry readers and writers alike all want to know.
All right, what is it?
The Winter Olympics.
I think during the Winter Olympics, there are going to be some Olympic events that are quite Olympic.
That's true.
I mean, you're a big
curling fan, because, like, who isn't? Because, like, I know that when I dreamed of being an athlete, I said, man, I want to get a whisk broom and kind of, you know, put a big hot kettle on ice that looks like a stone and just, you know, see how far I can push it. Because, like, who doesn't want to do that? Curling is just... Man, that is a man's sport.
Dude, the sad thing is, I actually cannot. I know I couldn't do curling at all.
I couldn't either. I can't ice skate.
No. I was so bad at sweeping that my grandpa made me stop.
Yes. We have to mention grandpa.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he made me stop right there. Just like, no, this is how you do it. He had to explain it for like 5 minutes.
Well, because younger people don't know how to do anything. That's the whole key, the magic of being young. Because if you do something half-assed, bud, then eventually the older people will be like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. And then you don't have to do anything at all. Isn't that secretly your real plan?
Yeah, that is a sound tactic.
Now, haven't you all been working on like a backyard fence for like 5 years now?
It feels like it's pretty close to that. I mean, it's been since October. So
I literally thought about taking a bus, because that's how temp I roll. I was going to take a bus, and I don't mean a charter, out to, I'm in the South, so everything's up or wherever, to Texas, just to give people state. Or whatever. I'm stupid. Don't rub it in. To Texas, just to go ahead and finish that fucking thing for you, because I'm like, you know. And then maybe I can live there. Grandpa will adopt me. And that would be great. By the way, how do you like the accommodations at, you know, the new studio? Aren't they grand? I mean, really, seriously. Such a beautiful studio we're in.
Yeah, it really is grand, but...
I mean, and you're sitting in Lily's chair when she's going to get really angry. So, you know, because that's a special chair. It has a special cushion to, you know, not for the pushing, but you know what I mean. It's a very, very comfortable chair.
It's really quite soft. Like, I kind of sink into it, honestly. I mean, it's just...
I know, it is. It's wonderful. It's like a recliner.
It is like the artistic embodiment of chair. I mean, it's just beautiful.
I know she is, and you can see her picture on the wall as we have it, and we miss her greatly. And hopefully she'll still tape with me after I do this. She might get angry and not tape with me for a while, so I don't know. I hope I'm not stuck with you as my new co-host. No offense. I'm just saying that you don't have nice legs like she has.
No, I don't know. I think that's debatable. I mean, I think I got pretty good legs going on.
No, I mean, you did wear the short skirt. I mean, the mini skirt is nice. I like the heels. You know that I am a big fan of stilettos. And they look gorgeous. But, you know, I'm just saying, the face is just, oh.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, you know, it's, unfortunately, you know, I wish we were going to tape on Sexual Harassment Saturday. But we're going to have that episode for Lily because it just doesn't work with you. I'm just saying, Scott, you're just, you know, no offense to you. I know.
Okay.
This is not an audition,
Okay, look, I have an important question for you.
What's that?
As far as Sexual Harassment Saturday goes.
Yes.
What is your advice for preventing workplace sexual harassment or causing more? I mean, I'm never quite sure which one they want me to do.
See, this is what's going to get us in trouble. I really appreciate you just kind of making the joke go way too long, because it's like then I have to just kind of go along with it and ad lib it. But just for that, I'm going to mix a special energy drink made by the Heaven Hill Distilleries. If you haven't had that energy drink, I made you one. Doesn't it taste delicious? It just makes you want to get up and go. From our favorite people in Kentucky. It's a delicious energy drink. You put Coca-Cola in it too, Scott. I know it's really good. So, I'm going to mix you one as well.
Wait, what is Coca-Cola? Is that one of those newfangled...
I know. A lot of people don't know that Scott is just not a modern young man. He is he's a bit of a Renaissance man. He's the same guy that, you know, thinks the Ink Spots are a new group.
Hey, they are. And look, I heard that amazing single that's called Amazing Grace that was written, I think, about a couple years ago.
Yeah, that is really a great one. That's a classic. I mean, I heard it at my church yesterday. No, I'm kidding. I don't go to church. As far as the sexual harassment is, I shouldn't even bring this back up. I don't even remember what the question was. How do we get more of it in the workplace? I don't know, Scott. I think it should be, we should make it all equal. The men need to be harassed. The men need to be harassed too, because it's just not fair. Because I used to have a job. I know it's hard to believe. And I just was very upset that I never got harassed at the workplace. I don't know about you, Scott, but it's just not fair. We're just not getting harassed enough as men. And it makes me feel unappreciated. I don't know about you.
I agree, really. I mean, people need to tell me I'm beautiful more often.
I know. And, like, you know, like when you're walking, pushing the mail cart, smack your ass, and, like, you know, it makes you feel loved.
Exactly.
It really makes you feel loved. And I mean, I have to admit, like, we deserve that too. As guys, you know, we feel a little neglected. I know on the inside that we're all just children, are we not? And we just all, you know, we all deserve equal treatment.
Okay. Look, do you agree that we should tell all ladies out there just go out and just smack a guy's ass, make him feel better about himself?
Yes, I think that would be nice. I used to work in old folks' home. Now I can't say nothing. Some of them old ladies are just, you know, you get to a certain point in your life that you just say fuck it. And those old ladies were at the fuck it stage, and they even they go by your walker every now and you get a little pinch. But hey, it makes you feel alive. What can I say? You can't be that insulted. It's like, what are you gonna do? Turn around and smack granny? I was like,
well,
yeah.
Oh,
Scott, let's just ask some questions. I've got some quick-fire questions, because eventually this show does run out of time. Because Daddy has to pay for this one. Not that I am Daddy. I'm just saying, that just sounds really
cheeky.
Well,
you can if you want to.
No, that's okay. We're close, but we're not that fucking close. I mean, you know. This is such an unprofessional show. Okay, these are the quick fire questions, Scott. Older women, what do you think? Are you into older women or younger women? Which do you prefer?
Pretty much any woman that'll talk to you for like 5 minutes.
5 whole minutes? Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you are the, what do you look for in a woman, Scott?
I like boobs and ass, and I prefer if a penis is not as big as mine.
Yeah, that is, I'm trying to tell you that. I told you, don't go toward the docks. When you pick up those and they got the Adam's apple, that's not a handle to turn them over with. I'm just saying.
I thought it was.
Well, your take on modern music, Scott. What is your take on the modern music?
I'm not down with the hippity hop mumbo jumbo.
Oh, don't insult. You better not be insulting people that like rap, because they'll shoot us. But I'm not saying they're violent.
Okay, well, I'm not told that you rap people. It's just not my jam.
Honestly, like, I don't know. New music. Now, see, I feel like I'm old if I just knock shit. You know what I mean? But it's like,
it makes you feel any better. My grandma listens to newer music than I do. I'm dead serious.
Really? What did your grandma listen to?
Oh, God.
She listens
to that Bruno Mars guy.
I like Bruno Mars.
What was it? It was some, I'm trying to think of what his name was. Like, I think like Blake Shelton.
Yeah, Waste Country. Yeah.
And he has streaming out. I mean, not that I noticed.
I know, he does, doesn't he? It's like Ryan Gosling. You just can't get enough of him. I mean, not that I'm that way, but, you know, if I was.
I don't know who did it, but she always likes that Uptown Funk song.
That's Bruno Mars. God, really? Our elders have something in common. Yeah, Bruno Mars, I like him as well. I you know what, man? I look at it like this. When it comes to music, I just think, you know, nowadays there's good music out there. You just got to really dig for it. You know, you just don't have it as easily available to you. If you flip on the radio, you're not going to hear much of anything. I mean, I've heard some stations. Oh, I forgot. Never mind. You're a millennial. Like, what is that thing? What is this old thing of which you speak of? Can I download it? No. You can't download it. Well, you probably can. Yeah. Rapid fire questions. What is your favorite Taylor Swift song, Scott?
I'm not familiar with her discography.
Oh,
I'm
come on.
Mildly
tell the truth.
This girl is on fire. I don't know.
Alicia Keys, dumbass.
I don't know that.
I sound worse than you. I'm like, I think I know more young people music than you do. But that's okay.
I'm 19, so it's pretty sad.
Yeah, exactly. So, Scott, are you playing the field? Are you currently single? So are all the, like, five women who might listen to this by accident might know that, hey, they can contact this young bachelor?
Look, I'm single, and I'm very desperate to mingle. Very desperate.
Very desperate to mingle and procreate. Hey, your big brother, and a lot of people don't know you have a big brother. I've met him. He's a really awesome guy. Just a phenomenal writer. Great dude. You know, he has his own radio show. You know.
Yeah. He's really cool. I mean, I know you met him.
Yeah, he is. He is pretty awesome. I have to admit. You know, he tells you all his stories. Once, you know, it's just as almost as good as getting laid, right? So it's like, you know.
Yeah, it's about the closest thing I'll get. I mean. Give me another rapid fire question.
Rapid fire question. Okay, where do you see your writing 10 years from now?
Where do I see it? I think it'll be up in a couple more places, and I think I might have
a
small
couple more. That's two, Scott. You'll have two more publications in 10 years. I believe it because you are a slow move. You're like a snail. Like, it amazes me.
Well, hey, if you set low standards, man, you'll achieve them.
True that, Holmes. Favorite cuss word?
It depends on the mood, honestly. Like, if I like, stub my toe, I'll say, God damn it.
Okay.
But...
You stub your toe. You barely leave your room. So,
dude,
that's very hard to do.
I mean, you're also talking to the same person that fell on the stairs and gapped his head open by accident.
That is true. But a lot of people don't know you do love to smoke the ganja. So, you know, you're not known for your coordination.
Well, I mean, I don't smoke it. I just inhale it.
That's true. You just like Bill Clinton.
Look, I like the aroma. I just use it like an incense.
Your favorite historic character, Scott?
Historic character. It's a tough one. Oh, Jesus. Do you mean positive or negative? I can go either way.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't be anybody. It's your. You can answer whatever you want. It's not like we have any listeners.
Okay, I'd probably say basically any cult leader or dictator that did something mildly entertaining.
Oh my God. Okay.
Probably the positive ones would be like Theodore Roosevelt. He was pretty cool. Pretty interesting as well.
He was very interesting. Really? Well, if you could sit down and have. Or we'll say a beer, but you're not old enough to drink. If you could sit down and have lunch with anyone out of history, live or dead, who would it be?
We would probably have lunch. That's a good question. Anyway, Jesus, now you're making me overthink here.
I smell something burning.
Okay, well, look. I would say Marilyn Monroe, but I mean, Jesus, I'm not going to lie, I'd probably piss my pants trying to talk to her. So I don't think that'd go very well for me.
I don't know. She'd probably think you're a freak and feel bad for you, you know. But that is pretty kick ass. I mean, I thought, I didn't even thought of that. You thought of more than I did. Well, I'll give you another. Besides Marilyn Monroe.
Say it one more time?
Huh?
Okay, what was the other one? I didn't hear what you said.
No, I was saying, I mean, I'll give you that. Marilyn Monroe, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I'll give you another. Who else? Who else would you have lunch with? Anybody? Anybody. They could be alive, dead. It doesn't matter. I mean, they won't be dead when you talk to them.
That would be kind of a boring conversation. They're dead.
That would not be fun.
I'd probably go with, like, Jim Morrison, because I remember, like, the Doors as a kid. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like he could at least give me, like get me laid by like, giving me, I don't know. I feel like he could talk someone into getting me laid.
That's just wonderful, Scott. I mean, you could talk to a great lead singer and poet and hopes to him get you laid like he's a pimp. That's very nice.
I'm just, like I said, I am single and very desperate to mingle.
God, dude. That is beautiful. That truly is. I mean, I'm trying to think rapid fire songs because questions as we're winding out here, we're getting ready to leave. If you could have one book and only one book, what would that book be?
I'd probably make do you mean something I'm making or do you mean something like I'm reading?
You're reading one book. You could only have one book and keep one book. What would that book be?
I'd say probably Women by Charles Bukowski.
Okay.
Or the Bible, so I could have an excuse not to read something. I mean, that'd be my cop out book. Like the Bible would be my cop-out book.
Wow, that's gonna make all the Christians very happy. That'll be my, yeah, I mean, if I can't
well,
have
no, no,
healthy
no.
Book.
It has good stories in it, but the King James Version, it has more complicated language than I'm used to using.
That is true. You are, I don't know how you read anything, but anyways. if you had your choice of achieving anything in life, what would it be? What would be the one thing you would like to accomplish? in your lifetime?
Losing my virginity.
Well, that's definitely going to take that long. So I'm, any ladies out there listening, once, I'm pretty sure we have like a whole audience of like five people, you know, and I'm at least two of them.
Well,
so,
I'm
a
woman. let's see. My serious one. I'd say it'd probably be. Oh God, it'd just be have the stereotypical wife and kids and all that. That's just so boring to explain.
Oh wow, that is really fucking corny, Scott. I'm glad.
Yeah,
you
that's why I didn't want to say it.
Yeah. Cats or dogs?
Definitely dogs.
I knew you weren't into the pussy. Oh, man, I know that from your life. favorite drink?
St. Arnold root beer.
Really? Seriously.
Well, I mean, it's better than water. I mean, that's pretty much my only other one.
Well, that's a plug for them. Once again, we don't have any sponsors. I wonder why, because this show sucks.
They're just jealous of me.
Yeah. God. All right, man. I'm trying to think here. Because, you know, I really don't know. I've only had one interview in my existence, and that interview was, yeah, kind of strange. You can only have one left. Smartass. If you could only have one last meal, what would that meal be? I'm just going to compare you to a death row inmate now.
I'd probably go with a medium rare steak.
Okay, Hannibal Lecter.
Good mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And I'd probably get like, since my last meal, I'd probably get like a whole pizza with that too. A carton of cigarettes. That'd be about it.
Okay. If you could be remembered for one thing, what would that be?
I'd want to be remembered for just being the most awkward human being possible, and maybe if I'm really lucky, a sex scandal.
A sex scandal. Well, in this climate, Scott, you probably you could achieve your goals. I have faith in you. Being I know you and how awkward you are in real life and how weird you are. You would probably, at least admit you probably had sex. So I would be very happy for you if I.
That's why I want.
And this would be with a woman, right? I mean, I'm just saying. It's okay if it wouldn't be. Oh, okay, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I think we're pretty much almost done with the rapid fire questions. I would say, what would your perfect evening be, Scott? I'm going to ask it totally just off the wall, like I'm writing for one of these weird magazines. What would be the perfect evening for Scott Simmons?
My perfect evening, it'd probably be, let's see. I'd always have to eat, of course. I'd eat some really good food. And, you know, I'd probably take a long walk on the beach. And I'd watch the sunset. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do any of that.
Oh, romantic. Well, I'd be so glad when Lily's back. See, Lily just said to me, shut up. I have no problems. And amazingly enough, I didn't even say her real name on here. Which is very good. So we won't get in any trouble with that. And, you know, the next episode, we will probably have her on here, hopefully. And, but no, all jokes aside, man, it's been great sitting down with you. We are running out of time, so we are going to go ahead and cut this interview. And Scott, it was truly a pleasure, man, having you on the show. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Any last words? Not that you're gonna die or anything.
I'd say, I love all of you people, especially if you read me, or you're a woman that tried to talk to me for without trying to run away.
Yeah.
I love you all.
Yeah, that's true.
And
all right,
you're all beautiful. Been fun being on here. And remember to always, I'd say believe in yourself, but I mean, that's not really a good thing. Just have fun.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man. We're going to wrap it up. It's been a great time. I hope everybody who listened to this episode, I hope they enjoy it. And, keep listening, because we will be back very soon with another Poets Club. And hopefully, we can actually get other guests on here. But until next time, man. Scott, it was great talking to you. Everybody out there, stay crazy. Scott, it was good talking to you. I'm going to say goodnight to you, bud. And,
good night.
Yeah, man.
It was a pleasure being on the show, man.
All right, man. I appreciate it. And, until next time, kids. Stay crazy. I'll stay gone. Until next time, look for another episode of the Poets Pub. Thank you all.